Welcome to Super Tathis for Parshas Korach. We have a few stories all relating to Machlokes. The first one is a story about Rav Nissim Kareletz living in his home. He had a neighbor that lived the floor below him in his building, and the neighbor complained that there was some sort of clog in his sewage pipes in his house. And he said something caused it in Rav Kareletz's house, and there was something, maybe it was a person, his last painter that had come to paint the walls, and he left some cement that had somehow gotten into something, or whatever it was. He gave a lot of different things why he thought his theory why Rav Kareletz needed to remedy the situation. So Rav Kareletz was calm, and he asked him, how much do you want me to give you? And he said, it's about 600 shkalim. So Rav Kareletz found the amount and paid him in full, and they parted in shalom. After this, there were some people with Rav Kareletz, and he said to the people around him, he said, listen, the truth is that my neighbor gave three reasons why I didn't need to pay, right? Because he mentioned that the pipes weren't connected, so there was no connection. And he mentioned what kind of cement it was, and that wouldn't close a pipe. And not only that, but this imaginary painter that he was talking about, he didn't have over a painter. But he said, despite all of this, I was quiet and I paid, because it's better to live in peace with your neighbors. So it's a very important idea to fight to avoid fighting, and fighting to avoid machlokes. So the next one is a story about the Bubba Varebe in Borough Park. So the Bubba Varebe in Borough Park calls somebody in the middle of the night. And this is the local from Glazier, which is a guy who works with glass. So he's an Uman, he works with glass, and that's what he does. So all of a sudden, very, very late at night, after midnight, he gets a phone from somebody, he picks a phone call from him, and picks it up. He says, listen, I need you to come and fix my broken window as soon as humanly possible. And the glazier was very nice. He said, look, I gotta tell you, it's after midnight. I usually don't work during these hours. But the person on the other end of the phone, was very, very, persistent. He begged him, please don't leave this until the morning. I can't leave it through the night. I can't allow the morning to come with this thing up. And he said, I'll pay you whatever amount you want. After a lot of pressure, the glass guy, the window guy, he said, okay, this is a strange request. But when he got to the house, he realized that it was the Bubba Rebbe. At the end of fixing it, he asked him, well, how much do you want me to pay? And he said, you don't have to pay any money. Just one thing. I want the Rebbe to be mechabed, to come to our family simchas, if that's possible. And years passed, and the glazier, ended up, making a sheva brachos for one of his children. And the Rebbe, was a mishtatef, he joined. For the first time, he explained what happened that night, like what was going on. It's amazing that the glazier didn't ask, but he said, look, during this time, there was a person who was really, really trying to drag me into machlokes. And he said, if I didn't do what he wanted, he was going to break my window. So, he
must have broken my window in the middle of the night, and I saw the break, and I was concerned that if I had waited until the morning, the Bacharim and the Avreichim, all of my students, they would see the broken window, and this would, trigger in their mind, oh, it must have been that rabble-rouser, and they would know who's behind him, and then they would go take their revenge, and this would turn into a giant machlekas. So I needed you right then, in the middle of the night. I was willing to wake you up in order to avoid that machlokas. I think that's a brilliant story. Next story is a story actually about how wealth sometimes takes us in the wrong direction. So there's a story about Baron Rothschild who did a lot of great things with his wealth. So and the story is introduced by the statement, the pasuk, from Shlomo Melach, Osher Shamu Lebalav Raso. Sometimes a person has wealth, but it's really for their detriment. And indeed, the Gemara in Pesachim says that this was referring in the name of Reish Lakish. This was the wealth of Korach. Korach ended up getting into a lot of trouble because of his perceived position of power. So Baron Rothschild went to go travel to a certain area, and he went to the local shul where he was told, he walked in and he said, well, hey, when do you guys daven shachris? And they said, 7. So he went there, and the Rav was there, and the Chazan was there, and the Dayan was there, and the Mispalim was there. They had a minyan, Balkuri was there, everybody was there, but they didn't start davening. And when they asked, he said, well, what's going on here? He said, well, the Gvir hasn't gone. 5 minutes pass. 10 minutes pass. Everybody's still waiting. Finally, at 7:15, the Gvir moseys in, right, with, fresh eyes after a long night of sleep. And he moseys up to his spot, up on the Mizrach. And all of a sudden, he sits right next to the Rav. And he gives the sign that they can start davening. And Rothschild was somewhat astounded by the chutzpah of this particular gvir. The Rav was going to have to wait for him. All of the people who were there had to wait for him. What kind of chutzpah was this? So it got to Kriyas Atzeria. And the Baron asked for an aliyah. And after, he asked to make a mishaberach. So when the Gabbai said, Ba'avur Shinadav, the point where you mention what you're planning on giving as a gift to the shul for the aliyah, Baron Rothschild said that he's going to give the net worth of the gvir. So the Gabbai did not recognize that this was Baron Rothschild, and he said, you are crazy. This gvir has a lot of money. And the Baron said, I am going to give the amount of the net worth of the gvir. And the Gabbai said, Reb Yid, don't do leitzonus here. This is not going to work. You want to give to the shul, you want to give, that's fine. Just say the amount, right? But if you don't want to give, nobody's going to be mechay of you. It's okay. Just don't make a joke out of it. And the Baron said, I already told you what I want to give. And I already told you the amount. And he said, do you want to figure it out? He said, go ask the Gabbai. How am I going to get it? He said, okay. He says, are you sure you have this amount to give? He said, yeah, I have much more. So finally, the Gabbai understood that this was Baron Rothschild. And the Gabbai rushed over to the Gvir. And he said, look, we're in a really weird spot here. Can you tell me what your net worth is? And the Gvir refused, right? He said he didn't want to tell his personal matters in public, right? So they tried to push him. He said, no. He said, listen, this is a whole giant amount of money for the shul. Would you consider it, right? Just so the Baron would be able to give. This is going to help everybody, all the poor people in the whole shchuna, the aniyim, shoot, you could put a kolol up here, the whole thing. It would be wonderful. And if you hold this back, the Baron, we can't tell what the Baron what to do. says, you can't ask my personal matters. So what is there to say? Everybody went to the Gruber's house and they tried to protest. And finally, Baron Rothschild says, you know what? You do not even need to get him to reveal it. I have a way with my own methods to get this revealed, and I will pay a lawyer to see the amount, and they can look in all of the records, the relevant records, to see what his net worth, and they checked, again to make sure their work was correct. They looked into it, and they looked into it even more, and they figured out that he barely had anything. And everybody was worried. He said, well, but this is the Gevir. Everybody waits for him for davening. And this was mentioned that this is Osher Shamor Leba'alav L'Rasa. In the end, it turned out that Osher that he was falsifying turned out to be to his embarrassment. Okay, a couple quick Divrei Torah, although they've used most of the time up in the stories. This is Orach Chaim, just important to mention, is that even when Korach and the Eda are acting in such a disrespectful way, he still makes sure he says, Bokir, right? And he says, let's do it in the morning. Why is that? He wants to give them a time to do tshuva, says Rashi. So the Orach Chaim comes out and says, the reason why is because everybody knows that the night is the time to do cheshbon nefesh. So that's a dvar chashuv, to do cheshbon nefesh every night. And look, it could have even saved Korach and everybody else had they just decided to put in time to do tshuva. And the next one, so he says, take the machtos, right? So. And it says, you 250 men, this is Rashi, you 250 men are seeking, the Kahuna Gadola. He says, I want it too. So this is a beautiful idea from Yusachar Dov Mibels. He says, the Kahuna Gadola can only really be one person, and the rest of Bnei Yisrael can only do this through the Rotzon and the Hishtokakus to be able to fulfill the mitzvah, or they can learn it. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, Af ani rotzabakach. He says, I want Kuna Gadola too. We can't have 251 or 252 Kohanim Gadolim, so let's be Makayim through the Ratzon. And that's a very important idea to show that we have Ratzon to do mitzvos, because often we can get caught in rote, and we all know. So there was once an instance. There was a machlekes between two individuals in town with Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, and he was asked for just his opinion of who is correct. So Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says, with every machlekes there are two sides, and only one of them is right. But this idea. Only is relevant for the first day of the Machlokas. From that day onward, both sides are wrong, because from at that moment on, they're both acting illogically. They're doing Diburim Asurim and potentially other things. So it's just an important lechach to all of us. I know somebody who can get occasionally caught up on the principle of the matter, and my response is there is no principle of the matter. You know, when you're getting machlekes, everybody has the fog of war. So last is just a Rashi Kashi. And this is, it says, Yishma Moshe, Yipol Alponav. Rashi says, well, this is the fourth Sirchon. It was the Cheda Egel. He asked there, and then he's Onanim and Moshe Davin, and Raglim and Moshe Davin. And now by the time Korach came around, he was Misrashal. So it seems here in Rashi that the Meraglim was before Korach. But that's actually a little bit confusing, because at the beginning of the Parsha, of Parsha's Devarim, Rashi says, V'chatzeros, it says, Chatzeros b'machlokto shel Korach. That's the machlokes of Korach. Hare shemaisa Korach haya l'chatzeros. V'halo b'chatzeros haya l'lifnim raklim. It says the chatzeros, if you go back to Bambinbar, Lamed Gimel Yilches, it seems that the Meraglim is after Chatzeros, because it says, V'yisumei Chatzeros v'yachanu b'rismo. Rashi says, Shebirisma nishlechu ha-Meraglim. They're the Meraglim, so how are you going to be mashik that? Have a wonderful Shabbos.